I have a little game for us. The game is, if you can guess what's inside, you get it. What's the game called? It's called Show and Tell, right? Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about what's inside. This is one of God's greatest gifts on earth. There's already some theories. It's got a silver tinfoil over top, this brown goodness inside just kind of rolls down your throat. It's so smooth and just tastes like, oh, just like a kiss on the lips. Anybody know what it is? You're wrong. It's a rock. You didn't guess that? Why not? Maybe because my tell had nothing to do with what I'm actually showing, right? There you go. Getting into the point of why does it matter that our show and tell are the same thing? Why does it matter? My family and I moved here 2.5 years ago from the Lower Mainland, and there's been some culture adjustments here. One of the adjustments is when I'll say something and somebody goes, that doesn't impress me. Or like someone will go, like in reference to another person, yeah, well, let's see. We've been trying to figure out, there are certain cultural differences about Quesnel than the Lower Mainland. And one of them that I deeply appreciate is a culture that says, show me what you tell me. Show me what you tell me. Now, there's this element where I'm not sure exactly, is that a small town piece, or is that because some people who've been here for a long time have seen people come and tell things? But it stretches me to make sure that what I tell is equal to what I show. And there's this joint piece about our words and our actions going together as one, right? What's that called? It's called integrity. A life of integrity, it's called character. So that's a little about me. For you, let me ask some questions around this. How long does it take for you to accept someone? Someone new to town, someone new in your family, someone new at work. How long does it take for you to accept someone? The second question is, what does that person have to do to show you they're trustworthy? What does that person have to do to show you they're trustworthy? They're questions of trust. There's a challenge in this approach, is that sometimes in a culture that says, you gotta show me what you say, and I just looked out, and okay, there was a recent engagement in our midst. There was a young man who showed his woman what he told her. Good job. Way to go, buddy. Well done. I won't say your name here. So, how does this discussion about show and tell relate to the Christmas message? Well, we've heard the story from Luke 2. Let me read you three verses from the insert in your bulletin that you have. 1 John 3:16 to 18. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. And the way God speaks is that he can speak through any one of those words to you, and you can walk away with it. Trust that God will speak to you what he wants you to hear tonight. Let me reflect on what I've just read in context of Christmas. That Christmas shows us what God tells us. That he loves us and he's with us. Christmas shows us what God tells us. That he loves us and that he's with us. There is an awe and wonder at the birth of God being both God and human in the person of Jesus. There is an awe and wonder we read that has affected history and affects us now of the life of Jesus. And there is an awe and wonder about the gruesome death of Jesus and the incredible stories of his resurrection and the promise that as you put your trust in him, that he hasn't just conquered death for himself, he's conquered it for you as well. And that we are made not only with this inherent meaning in this life now, but that we're made for eternity. That we are made with eternity in mind by a God who made us to love us. And he wants to show us that. So let me reflect on how God has revealed his character to be more trustworthy than anyone you have ever met or anyone you will ever know. Let's just talk about his birth. So how many of you chose where you're going to be born? And how many of you chose your family that you're going to be born in? And how many of you would choose your family now? Trick question. Don't answer that. Trick question. No. That's good. So much of life, even like how many of you chose your personality? How many of you chose your time in history you were going to be born? How many of you chose your ethnicity? Think of how much is out of your control. Think of how much those things we've mentioned has affected your life. How much percent would you give the effect on all those things you couldn't control on your life? So then that kind of goes, well, what do I do with that kind of 5%, 10% of those things I've actually chosen? Well, here's the thing. When you're God, you get to choose those things. And God put himself in the high life, didn't he? Well, he didn't. That's what's so interesting about what's revealed in God's character. He could have been born into power and splendor, adulation, the high life, riches. And certainly what we read about that first Christmas, heaven showing up in this little space of Bethlehem, that was certainly incredible. And yet, God's born in this tiny town, untouched from the Twitter universe. Think of like, okay, all the big things in this world, where are they born, right? Oh, think about being born in Houston. Not Texas, but BC. That's the kind of town Jesus was born in. And now, okay, where are you going to be placed in your birth? Okay, here's the beloved, you're the child, you're embraced. You get a manger, which is an animal trough. So you get placed in an animal's trough. This was his birth he chose. Now here's the other thing he chose. Okay, picture the most incredible place on this earth. Where have you been? Your most incredible place. Now picture your absolute favorite people there. Are you picturing them? You got the place, you got the people. Only include your favorite people. Don't include anybody else. Just those people you feel most incredibly loved by. You have the place where Jesus left to come here. And that's not even touching heaven and perfect communion. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this perfect family, this perfect community. They didn't need anything else. But God left there. Jesus left there. That's the story of Christmas. On our behalf. He lived a perfect, loving life as well. He showed us a life of character. He showed us submitting to his parents. He showed us submitting to study, to memorization of the Holy Scriptures. You can see it through his words. He showed us learning a trade to contribute to society until his father called him to stretch, to live a bigger, to stretch beyond himself to a life of public declaring of God's goodness. He declared the dangers of hell, the beauty of heaven, the arrival of God's kingdom now, not fully yet, but commencing. And he displayed a life of incredible compassion. He showed us up close what God looks like. He also showed us great power, the ability to heal with touch. Can you imagine that ability? Just touching someone and healing them. To control nature. He showed quieting storms, walking on water, so much more. He said, and in his death, don't you think as soon as somebody like pushed you a little bit, it'd be like, now I'm going to put you in your place. I'm going to show you truly. Yet in his power, he didn't push his weight around. In fact, he transformed what power and authority look like. He said that if you're going to be a leader, if you're going to be an authority, that means that you serve other people. This is what power is for. This is what love looks like. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So, we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. It's challenging. Someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, shows no compassion. How can God's love be in that person? Let's not merely say we love people. Let's show the truth by our actions. Christmas, in a nutshell, is that God's show and tell match. So here's the tougher question. Does the show and tell of our lives match? Does the show and tell of our lives match? How will you treat those around you just over the next 24 hours? Will your show and tell match? How about the next 7 days? Will your show and tell match? How about the next 52 weeks? Will your show and tell match? New Testament writer or New Testament commentator N.T. Wright, in his book After You Believe, he wrote this great definition of character. Character is what happens when someone has made 1,000 small choices requiring effort and concentration to do something which is good and right, but which doesn't come naturally. And then on the 1,001st time, when it really matters, you find that you do what's required automatically. That's character. So what do your small choices reveal about your character? What will they reveal in your character? Is there someone on a trust level in your family this Christmas season? Someone over the next 7 days you need to be open to letting into your circle? Is there a way that you can show trust, that you can model love to let someone in your circle? Because the challenging thing is when our show and tell don't match, they don't show or tell what God's love is like because his show and tell matches. God has shown us what true love looks like. Coming to life, coming to earth, showing a life of incredible character, goodness that has impacted history, a love that laid itself down for others. So here's the question and a kick here to really get at the heart. What does God have to show you for you to trust him? To really trust him? How long does he have to show you? What more does he have to show you for you to trust him? How long will it take for you to come to that place? And does your show and tell match when it comes to receiving him? So it's so important, our show and tell match, isn't it? It's gotta. It's that 100%, right? Or else there's this disconnect. Life's not right when show and tell isn't right. And that's why I gotta make it right. So when we leave this place, as you depart, there will be tinfoil wrapped chocolate for you to grab. We have to remedy the situation, because it will leave you not feeling right. Christmas shows us that God is someone who keeps his word. He shows us in action. He embodies his love. That his show and tell match, and that he loves us and he's with us. Let's pray. God, we marvel at this, the holiness of this event. God in flesh and blood moving into the neighborhood. How is that even possible, Lord? We give you the awe and wonder of it. And we also ask that you remedy any questions of trust that are in the way of us trusting you and letting you be God in our lives, of our lives being laid down back for you the way you did for us. Show us what's getting in the way. God, you're God. You can answer these things. And the peace of faith is not about our ability, but your ability. So hear our faith prayer of just you show us, God, what's getting in the way of us trusting you, fully, wholeheartedly living for you. May our show and tell match this Christmas. This is our prayer, Lord Jesus. Amen. So 200 years ago, there was a song that was sung for the very first time, and we're going to sing it now. It's called Silent Night. It is the song that is so symbolized with gathering together in situations like these. It was a song that was actually sung in the Christmas World War truce, where both sides held truce on Christmas Day, and they sang together this song, Silent Night. So we invite you to light that tea candle that you are given as you come in, to stand, to reflect on this word read to us earlier, that Jesus is the light of the world. We can hold it up here together as we sing one final song, Silent Night.